Good afternoon, I'm Daryl Snodgrass. We've got some special holiday programming for you today. I hope you heard earlier in the week on Checking on the Arts that Playhouse on the Square is doing a new production of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. It is, of course, based on the classic Christmas Frank Capra film, It's a Wonderful Life, adapted for the stage by Joe Landry. And the way they are doing it is as a 1946 radio play would be done. All of the actors are there on the stage, and all of the sound effects are done live on the stage by the actors. They've had a couple of productions now, and we have been fortunate enough that we have recorded a couple of those performances. Actually, Rory Dale, the sound guy down there at Playhouse, has recorded those, and he has given those to us, and we're going to play that for you today. I want to point something out, that the part of George is played by Corey Cunningham, the part of Mary is played by Kim Justice, and all of the other parts in the play are done by three actors, Irene Christ, Michael Gravois, and John Roan. So it's quite an exciting production, so we're very pleased to be able to bring this to you as part of our holiday programming. I want to remind you, we will be repeating this on Christmas Eve Day at 2 o'clock. So here's Playhouse on the Square's production of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play.
...fired into Israel by Palestinian militants shortly after the truce began. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says his government...
WBFR in New York City. Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, young and old and new. Greetings from WBFR Studio A in Manhattan, New York, right here in the U.S. of A. Tonight, on WBFR Playhouse on the Air, we bring you a real feel-good hot warmer, perfect for this or any Christmas Eve. It's a wonderful life. This is the story of none other than George Bailey, a typical American. It might be you, it might be me. He dreams of glory, he lives in hope, he loves and doubts, he rushes home on Friday nights, and only Providence puts a final value on his service to humanity. Our story starts before the wars, when life was normal, shortages were generally unknown, and fine institutions like tonight's sponsors, Cremel Hair Tonic and Lux Home Products, were sweeping the nation. And now, it's a wonderful life. This is the story of George Bailey, citizen of Bedford Falls, New York. George Bailey, who more than anything under the sun wanted to see the world, the wonderful and exciting world that lay somewhere beyond the limits of his hometown. Oddly enough, our story does not begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in the world. It begins in heaven, where the superintendent of angels has just summoned an apprentice angel named Clarence.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence, a man down on earth needs our help.
Oh, splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged.
Please, Lord, help my son George tonight.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear Father.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight. Please, God, something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Clarence, at exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear. Dear, his life. Then I've only an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting over 200 years now, and, well, people are beginning to talk. And
what's that book you've got there?
Oh, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, sir. I was reading it when you sent for
me. Fine book. Excellent book. Well, you do a good job with George Bailey, and we'll see about your wings.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, listen. When George Bailey was a boy, two events occurred that you should see. One happened when George and his brother Harry were out sledding on the ice.
Yippee!
Who's that?
That's your problem, George Bailey. That's him when he was 12 back in 1919. Something happens here you'll have to remember later on.
And here comes the scare baby, my kid brother, Harry Bailey.
I'm not scared.
Scaredy cat, scaredy cat.
Yeah.
there, Harry's fallen through the ice.
I'm coming, Harry. Make a chain, gang, a chain.
Oh, so his brother fell through the ice, but George saved him.
Yes, Clarence, and ever since George has had a bad ear, all that icy water, you understand.
Bad ear?
The
yes,
other
sir.
Event came a few months later. George took an after-school job at Old Man Gower's drugstore.
It's me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
Hello, George. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Violet.
2 cents worth of shoelaces, Violet?
Mary was here first.
I'm still thinking.
Shoelaces?
Please, Georgie. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you are.
Thanks, Georgie. See you later, Mary.
Made up your mind yet, Mary?
I'll take chocolate.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here, from Tahiti, Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea.
What's that you've got there? A new magazine. I never saw it before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society. Oh, let me get your ice cream.
Is this the ear you can't hear on? George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm going out exploring someday. You watch. I'm going to have a couple of harems and maybe 3 or 4 wives. Wait and see.
George! George!
Yes, sir?
You're not paid to be a canary.
What's that that George just picked up?
It's a telegram for Mr. Gower. He found out this morning that his son died of influenza.
Oh, awful.
Yes, and he spent the afternoon drowning his grief in whiskey.
Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do back here?
Oh, no!
I'll get them, sir. What's this bottle, Mr. Gower?
Never mind that. Take those capsules over to Mrs. Blaine's.
Yes, sir. They have the diphtheria there, haven't they, sir? Is it a charge, sir?
Yes, charge.
Mr. Gower, I...
Get going.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gower?
What is it?
Mr. Gower, you... Oh, that bottle you used. You put something wrong in those capsules.
Who do you think you're talking to?
Oh, you're hurting my sore ear.
You heard what I said. Now get out of here.
Mr. Gower, you don't know what you're doing. You put something wrong in those capsules. I know you're unhappy. You got that telegram and you're upset. It wasn't your fault, Mr. Gower, but... But look, Mr. Gower, look. This bottle you used to make up the capsules. It's poison.
Poison?
Don't hit my sore ear again.
Poison? Oh, George. George.
All I wanted was to make sure, Mr. Gower. I won't tell anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're feeling. I will never tell a soul. Hope to die, I won't.
Oh, George.
Did he ever tell anyone about those pills?
Not a soul.
Did he ever marry the girl? Did he ever go exploring?
We'll get there soon enough, Clarence. Now, when George Bailey grew up, he wanted to go to college, but he just didn't have enough money. So he worked 4 years in the Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan Association?
George's father was in the building and loan business along with George's Uncle Billy. High ideals and low bank accounts. George worked for his father, saving enough to see him through the university. That summer, though, he was going to Europe. George got a job working on a cattle boat and wanted to do a little traveling before college. Old Man Gower surprised him with a gift of a great big suitcase. On his way home from the stores, he ran into his friends, Ernie the cab driver and Bert the cop.
Hey, Ernie!
Hiya, George!
Hi, Bert!
Hey, George! What's the suitcase for?
I'm a rich tourist today. How about driving me home in style?
Sure, Your Highness. Hop in the cab, and for the carriage trade, I puts on my hat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey.
Whoa,
looks like you're ready to get out of here.
Hello, Violet. Hey, you look good. That's some dress you got on there.
Oh, this old thing? Why, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. See you later.
How would you like...
Yeah. Want to come along, Bert? We'll show you to town.
No thanks. I think I'll go home and see what the wife's doing.
Family man.
George saved up money to go away to college. His bags were packed and he was all set to go.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's hard to realize it's the last night in the Bailey boarding house.
We're sure gonna miss you, George.
I'm gonna miss you too, Pop. Hey, what's wrong? You look tired.
Oh, I had another tussle with old Henry Potter today.
Oh.
I thought when we put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up on us a bit.
I wonder what's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard anyway.
Oh, he's a sick man, frustrated and sick. Sick in his mind, sick in his soul, if he has one. Hates everybody that has anything he can't have. Hates us mostly, I guess.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo studs?
Oh, yeah, help yourself, Harry.
Well, where are they? In your suitcase?
I'm not taking a tuxedo on a cattle boat, you know.
Hey, say, where'd you get that fine piece of luggage anyway?
Ah, Mr. Gower. A going-away present. And one of these days you're going to see that bag all covered with travel labels. Italy, Baghdad.
Hey, why don't you come to the dance tonight?
What, and be bored to death?
Well, you couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls. Oh, hey, I gotta hurry.
I wish we could send Harry to college with you, George.
Well, we have that all figured out. You see, Harry will take my job at the building and loan, work there 4 years, then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
Well, no younger than I was.
You were born older, George. I suppose you've decided what you want to do when you get out of college?
Oh, well, you know, what I've always talked about. Building things. Design new buildings, plan modern cities.
Still after that first million before you're 30,
No, I'll settle for half of that in cash.
Well, of course, and it's just a hope, but you wouldn't consider coming back to the building and loan, would you? I know it's early to talk about it.
Oh, I couldn't face being cooped up the rest of my life in that shabby little office. Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that remark, but it's just this business of nickels and dimes and spending your life trying to figure out how to save 3 cents on the length of a pipe. I go crazy. I want to do something big and something important.
You know, George, I feel that in a small way we are doing something important, satisfying a fundamental urge. It's not too much for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace, and we're helping him get those things in our shabby little office.
I know, Dad. I wish I felt... Well, it's just I've been hoarding pennies like a miser in order to... Most of my friends have already finished school. I feel like if I just don't get away, I'd bust.
Yes, you're right, boy. This town's no place to live if you aren't willing to crawl to Potter. You get yourself an education, then get out of here.
I'm glad you see what I'm talking about. Well, say, I think I'm going to go down on Old Main Street. Last night in town and all.
Have a good time, son.
Who's that?
Why, that's Violet Bick.
The little girl from the candy counter?
That's right.
Ooh.
Hello, Georgie Porgy.
Well, hello, Vi.
What gives?
Nothing.
Where are you going?
Oh, I'll probably end up at the library.
Georgie, don't you ever get tired of just reading about things?
Yes. What are you doing tonight?
Not a thing.
Are you game, Vi? What do you say we make a night of it?
Oh, I'd love it, Georgie. What'll we do?
Let's go out in the fields and take off our shoes and walk in the grass.
Huh?
Yeah, then we can go up to Stewart Lake. Oh, it's beautiful up there in the moonlight. And we can swim. Oh, then we can climb Mount Bedford and smell the pines and watch the sunrise against the peaks. And we'll stay up there the whole night and everybody will be talking and it'll be a terrific scandal.
George, have you gone crazy? Walk in the grass in my bare feet? Why, it's 10 miles up to Mount Bedford. You think that just because you... Oh!
Okay, just forget about the whole thing.
Forget about what, George?
Oh, nothing, Sam.
You remember Mary, don't you?
Hi, George.
Hi, Mary.
Say, would you mind walking Mary home? You wouldn't, would you, George?
Of course not. Is that all right with you, Mary?
Fine by me.
Great. Thanks.
So George walked Mary home. Is that important, Joseph?
I'd say it is, because even though Mary lived only 4 blocks away, it took them 2 hours to get there.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight. Come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Oh, hot dog! Oh, boy, just like an organ.
Beautiful.
You know something? If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I will. How old are you, anyway?
18.
18?
Too young or too old?
Oh, no, just right. Your age fits you. Oh, say, look where we are.
Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no, don't you know about deserted houses? You make a wish and then throw a rock.
Oh, but George, it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live in there if I was a ghost. Oh, now watch, watch this. How about it, huh? Pretty good shot. Broke a window, huh?
What's your wish, George?
Well, not just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy town off of my feet, and I'm gonna see the world. Greece, Italy, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Oh, then I'll come back here and go to school and see what they know. And then I'm gonna build things. I'm gonna build airfields. I'm gonna build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm gonna build bridges a mile long. And then I'm gonna... Hey, are you gonna throw a rock too? Pretty good shot, Mary. What'd you wish for?
Oh, no, if I tell you, it may not come true.
Hey, Mary, come on. What do you want, huh? Do you want the moon? All you gotta do is just say the word now.
Okay, the moon, I'll take it. And then what?
Then what? I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Well, then you could swallow it and it all dissolves, see? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and ends of your hair. Am I talking too much?
Yes! Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Who's that?
Old man Collins on his front porch.
Ah, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey, hold on. Hey, mister, come back out here and I'll show you some kissing that'll put the hair back on your head, huh? You come back out here. I'll show you how to...
George! George!
Uncle Billy?
George, get in the car quick. Your father's had a stroke.
I'm sorry. I've got to go, Mary.
George's father died that night, Clarence. So, of course, George couldn't go to Europe. But that fall, just as he was getting ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan held a meeting. They were going to appoint a successor.
I want the board to know that George gave up his trip to Europe to help straighten things out here these past few months, and it was greatly appreciated. I think that's all we'll need you for, George. Good luck to you at school. I know you're anxious to make a train.
Yes, I have a taxi waiting downstairs.
Mr. Chairman? I'd like to get to my real purpose. I claim this institution is not necessary to this town. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to dissolve the building and loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
It's too soon after Peter Bailey's death to discuss chloroforming the building and loan. It was his faith and devotion that are responsible for this organization.
I'll go further than that. I'll say that to the public, Peter Bailey was the building and loan.
Oh, that's fine, Potter, coming from you, considering you probably drove him to his grave.
Peter Bailey was not a businessman. That's what killed him. Oh, I don't mean him any disrespect, God rest his soul. He was a man of high ideals, so-called. But ideals without common sense can ruin this town. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. And all because a few starry-eyed dreamers like Peter Bailey stir them up and fill their heads with a lot of impossible hooey. Now, I say...
Just a minute! Now hold on, Mr. Potter. You're right when you say my father was no businessman. I know that. Why he ever started this penny-ante building and loan, I'll never know. But neither you nor anyone else can say anything against his character. because his whole life was... Why, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. Isn't that right, Uncle Billy?
Oh, you got that right.
He didn't save enough money to send Harry to school, let alone me. But he did help a few people get out of your slums, Mr. Potter. And what's wrong with that? Why, here, you're all businessmen here. Doesn't it make them better citizens? Well, doesn't it make them better customers? You said, what'd you say just a minute ago? You said they had to wait and save their money before they even ought to think of a decent home. Wait? Wait for what? Until their children go up and leave them? Until they're so old and broken down that they just... Do you know how long it takes a working man to save $5,000? Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him. But to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Well, I've said too much. You're the board here. You do what you like with this thing. Just one thing more, though. This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place to go to without having to crawl to Potter! Come on, Uncle Billy!
Sentimental hogwash! I want my motion!
They're just coming out of the board meeting. I'll have to call you back. What happened, George? All we heard was a lot of yelling.
Boy, oh boy, Matilda, you should have heard George.
Yeah, they're voting us down in there.
George, get out of here. You missed your boat trip. Do you want to miss college, too? Don't worry about the board. They're putting us out of business. So what? I can get another job. I'm only 55.
You're 58.
Oh, this is great news. This is good news. George, they voted Potter down. We're still in business.
Whoopee! We're still in business!
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Appoint me? But I'm going to college. Uncle Billy here, he's your man.
Oh, you can keep him on. That's all right.
Now let's get this thing straight. I'm leaving. I'm leaving right now. I'm going to school. This is my last chance.
But George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise.
So, George Bailey didn't go to college.
That's right, Clarence. He gave his college money to his brother Harry, and Harry went instead.
But what happened to that good-looking girl, you know, Mary?
Oh, George saw her now and then. Not very often, though, because Mary went to school, too. Anyway, George waited 4 years for Harry to come back and take over the building and loan. Then he could see the world. He planned to work in the oil fields of Venezuela.
There she blows. Say, Uncle Billy, you know what the three most wonderful sounds on earth are?
Breakfast is served, lunch is served, dinner.
No. Anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles.
Oh.
Here's the professor now.
Oh, hi, Harry.
Well, if it isn't George Geographic Explorer Bailey. Oh, Uncle Billy, you haven't changed a bit. Well,
nobody ever changes around here, you know that.
Oh, am I glad to see you.
Say, where's Mother?
She's home cooking the fatted calf. Come on, let's go.
Oh, wait. This is Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
Huh? Well, I wired you. I had a surprise. Here she is. Meet the wife.
Whoa, what do you know, wife?
Well, how do you do? What am I doing? Congratulations. Congratulations. Harry, why didn't you tell somebody? What's a pretty girl like you doing marrying this two-headed brother of mine?
Well, I'll tell you, it's purely mercenary. My father offered him a job.
Oh-ho, so he gets you and a job. Harry's cup runneth over. Ruth, let's start on ahead and leave the bags for the fellas.
All right.
George, about that job, Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. Oh, you've been holding the bag here for 4 years, and... Well, I won't let you down.
It's all right, Harry. It's all right.
And that night, the homecoming party for Harry became his wedding party. Uncle Billy familiarized himself with the spirits.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm so happy I can spit in Potter's eye. I think I will.
What'd you say?
Maybe I should get going home. If you'll just point me in the right direction.
Right down there.
Oh, that way, huh? Okay, old building and loan pal. See you later.
Be careful.
George?
Yeah, I'm out on the porch, Mother. I just thought I'd get some air.
How do you like the new sister-in-law?
She's swell.
Looks like she'll keep Harry on his toes.
Yeah, keep him out of Bedford Falls, anyway.
George, did you know Mary Hatch was back from school?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop grumbling. Give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on Mary.
Well, Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about her.
She's not crazy about him.
Well, now, how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you?
Besides, Sam's away in New York, and you're here in Bedford Falls.
And all's fair in love and war?
I don't know about war.
All right, Mother. I think I'll go out and find the girl and do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George.
Bye, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, by the way, do you want any books at the library?
The library? George! George, you go call on Mary, you hear? That better not be my good crystal.
Hello, Mary. I just happened to be passing by.
Your mother just phoned and said you were on your way over to pay me a visit.
My mother just called you? Well, how did she know?
Well?
I didn't tell anybody. I just went for a walk and happened to be passing by. What do you know? I just went for a walk, that's all. When'd you get back?
Tuesday. Would you like to come in?
Well, I guess. Since I'm here. Say, where'd you get that dress?
Do you like it?
It's all right. Yeah, I thought you'd go back to New York with Sam and Francie and the rest of them.
Oh, I worked there a couple of vacations, but I don't know. I guess I was homesick.
Homesick for Bedford Falls?
Oh, yes, and my family and... Oh, everything. Would you like to sit down?
All right, for a minute. You know, I still can't understand it, though. You know, I didn't tell anybody I was coming here.
Would you rather leave?
No. I don't want to be rude.
Mm. Oh, it was nice about Harry and Ruth, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's all right.
Don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, it's just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about,
no,
huh?
Marriage is okay for Harry and Sam Wainwright and you.
Mary! Mary! Who's out there with you?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
Me? Not a thing. I just came in to get warm.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
You tell him to go back home and don't you leave the house. Sam Wainwright promised to call from New York tonight, didn't he?
I guess so. How about some music?
Your mother needn't to... Yeah, I didn't come here for... to...
What did you come here for?
Oh, yes, sir. I don't know. You tell me. You're the one who's supposed to have all the answers. You tell me.
Oh, why don't you go home?
Well, that's where I'm going. I don't know why I came here in the first place. Good night.
Oh. Hello?
Good night, George.
Mary, the telephone. It's Sam.
I'll get it. Hello, Sam.
forgot my hat.
Hee-haw! Hello, Sam. How are you?
Oh, great. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again.
Oh, well, that's awfully sweet of you, Sam. There's an old friend of yours here, George Bailey.
You mean old Mossback George?
Yes, old Mossback George.
Hee-haw, put him on.
Wait a minute, I'll call him. George?
He doesn't want to speak to George, you idiot!
He does so. He asked for him. George, Sam wants to speak to you.
Hello, Sam.
Hey, fine pal you are. What are you trying to do? Steal my girl?
Oh, what do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal your girl. I just came
up... No, wait a minute. I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
Mother's on the extension.
I am not!
We can both hear you. George, just put your head a little closer.
Okay.
There, that's better. We're listening, Sam.
I have a big deal coming up that's going to make us all rich. George, you remember that night at Martini's Bar when you told me about making plastics out of soybeans?
Uh-huh. Yeah, soybeans, yeah.
Well, my father checked into it, George, see? And now he's going to build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Rochester. Well, why Rochester?
Well, why not? Can you think of anything better?
I don't know. Well, why not right here in Bedford Falls? You know the old Tula Machinery Works? Well, you can tell your father he can get that for a song. And all the labor he wants, too. Half the town was put out of work when they shut down.
That's so. Well, I'll tell him. Hey, that sounds great. Oh, baby, I knew you'd come through. Now, here's the point, George. I may have a job for you. That is, unless you're still married to that old broken-down building and loan. Oh, Mary.
I'm here.
You tell that guy. I'm giving him a chance of a lifetime. You hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Give me that phone. Now you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics. I don't want any job. And I don't want to get married. Ever. To anyone. You understand that? I want to do what I want to do. And you're not going to... You're not going to... Oh, Mary.
George.
Mary.
Hey, where you two going on this here now honeymoon?
Oh, we're going to shoot the works, Ernie. The whole week in New York, the whole week in Bermuda, the highest hotels, the oldest champagne, the richest caviar, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
Here's the kitty, Ernie. $2,000. I feel like a bootlegger's wife.
So you're finally getting out of Bedford Falls, huh? Then what?
Well, then what, honey?
Well, after that, who cares?
That does it. Hey, Mrs. Bailey, I haven't kissed you since...
Hey, George! Look, there's something funny going on over there. Look, over by the bank. It looks like a run.
Huh? Pull over there a minute, will you, Ernie?
George, let's not stop. Please, let's go straight to the station.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I better see what this is. I'll be right back.
Oh, George, please! George!
In a few moments, we'll return with the second part of It's a Wonderful Life. But first, gentlemen, does your hair resemble a dried-out old bird's nest full of dandruff flakes? Do you plaster your hair down like a cheap gigolo smelling to high heaven?
P.U.O. stinks!
When girls get a gander at the tip-top of your noggin, do they go...
Ew!
Well, here's a helpful hint that may just help you out in the romance department.
Ah!
Starting tomorrow, why not try Kreml Hair Tonic? Yes, sirree, you'll be headed for success with Kreml-groomed hair. A success with the girls and on the job. Kreml always keeps your hair mighty attractive, always in place. A real sex appealer.
Meow!
Kreml Hair Tonic does lots more than keep your hair handsome looking.
Kreml, the swank hair tonic, makes your filthy bird's nest clean.
A little dab will do ya.
Chicks will flock right to ya.
All the birdie girls will scream.
When you use Kreml, the swank
some Cremel today. Your hair will thank you. And now, back to It's a Wonderful Life. Well, we are back in heaven again, where the superintendent of angels is reviewing the case history of a mortal named George Bailey. Clarence, the apprentice angel, is very eager to depart on his mission to the earth.
Poor George Bailey. Oh, he's certainly in desperate trouble, Joseph. I will go to him at once.
Now, sit down, Clarence. Sit down. We're nowhere near the point where George Bailey is thinking of taking his life.
We're not?
No. Take a look. George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon when they ran smack into the financial panic of 1933. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
What's going on, Uncle Billy? What happened? All those people out there.
Oh, this is a pickle, George. All I know is the bank called our loan an hour ago. I have to hand over all our cash.
Holy mackerel.
Well, the whole town's going crazy. Bank's in the same spot we are.
Our charter says we have to stay open until 6 p.m. The state can take away our license if we don't.
How can we stay open to 6 p.m. without any money? George, where are you going?
Out to talk to everyone. Come on. All right, now please, folks, now just remember this thing isn't as black as it appears.
How about our money, George? Where's our money?
Now, please, wait a minute. Listen to me, you're thinking of this place all wrong. The money's not here.
It's not here.
Wait a minute, let me tell you. Your money's in people's houses. In the Kennedy house, and in the McLaren house, and in your house, and 100 others. Now, what are you going to do? Foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
All right, Charlie, all right. Now you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, no, that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
I got my money. Old man Potter's taken over for the bank. He'll pay 50 cents on every dollar.
Wait a minute. Please, folks, please, don't leave. I beg of you not to do this. If Potter gets a hold of your shares, he'll be owning the building alone. He's got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, and now he's after us, because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now listen, we can get through this all right, but we've got to stick together. We've got to have faith in each other.
My husband's out of work. We need money.
I got doctor bills to pay.
Can't feed my kids on faith.
How much do you need? We've still got some money. We've got $2,000 from the wedding.
Hey, Mary. I got $2,000 here. This will tide us over until the bank reopens. All right, Charlie, how much do you need?
$242.
Charlie, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
Okay. Uncle Billy, give Charlie $242. Okay, all right, Ed, now how much? Just to get by.
$20, I suppose.
Now we're talking. Now, Mrs. Thompson, how about you?
But it's your own money, George.
Never mind that. How much do you want, Mrs. Thompson?
Could I have $17.50?
Bless your heart, of course you can have it. Uncle Billy, give her $17.50. Pay it back when you can. Now pay it back when you can. All right. Who's next?
Oh, look at the clock. Look.
5 seconds. 4 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
6 o'clock.
Oh, we made it.
Lock that door, Uncle Billy. Oh, boy, we're still in business, and we even got $2 left.
Bailey Brothers building in just a minute. George, there's a call for you.
Hey, look, will you get my wife on the phone? She's probably over at her mother's.
Mrs. Bailey is on the phone.
No, I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Oh, Mrs. Bailey. Oh, that is my wife. Hey, Mary, hello? Hey, listen, dear, I'm sorry. What? Come home? What home? 320 Sycamore? Whose home is that? The Waldorf Hotel, huh?
That doesn't look like the Waldorf Hotel.
No. Number 320 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one George and Mary threw rocks at and made wishes. With Bert's help, Mary had prepared the house, including a turkey dinner, romantic decorations, and even a marriage bed.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Well, I'll be.
Remember the night we broke the windows in this old house? This is what I wished for.
Darling, You're wonderful.
Yes, sir, that's where they spent their honeymoon. That's where they started their lives together. Mary made the leaky old house a home, while George toiled away at the building and loan, providing houses for people like Giuseppe Martini.
Hey, Martini, you rent a new house?
Rent? Ha, you hear that, Mr. Bailey? I own this house. Me, Giuseppe Martini, I own my own house. No more we live like pigs in Potter's Field.
We have something for you and your family, Mr. Martini.
Oh, no, I could not possibly.
George and I bring something for all the new owners.
Oh, for the Martinis. Maria, come quick! Our first housewarming is bring the cakes!
They're precious. Bread, so that this house may never know hunger.
Oh.
Salt, that life may always have flavor.
Grazie. Oh.
And wine.
Oh.
And prosperity may reign forever. Enter the Martini Castle.
Bailey houses were popping up all over the place, mostly owned by people that used to live in Potter's Field. And Potter had had just about enough of that. So, after a couple of years, old man Potter decided to call our George into his office.
Sit down, George. Sit down. Have a cigar?
Well, thank you, sir. Quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
Oh, you like it? I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but just what exactly did you want to see me about?
Oh, George, that's just what I like about you so much. George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me. But I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. Now, you know just as well as I do that I run practically everything in this town but the Bailey Building and Loan. You know also that for a number of years I have been trying to get control of it, or kill it. But I haven't been able to do it. You have been stopping me. In fact, you have beaten me, George, and that takes some doing. Well, take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
Oh, the envious ones say that, George, the suckers. Well, now, let's take a look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
45.
Oh, 45.
45.
Now, if you were some ordinary yokel, I would say you were doing just fine. But George Bailey is intelligent, ambitious. He hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. He's been dying to get out of town ever since he was born. A young man, smartest one in the crowd, mind you, who has to sit by and watch as his friends go places because he's trapped. Trapped into frittering away his life playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is, you're the only man in town who's licked me. I want to hire you. Manage my affairs. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
What? $20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town? Buying your wife a lot of fine clothes? A couple of business trips to New York each year? Maybe once in a while Europe? You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? Are you sure you're not talking to somebody else here?
Oh,
are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey, don't you remember?
Yes.
The building and loan,
yes,
remember?
Yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has enough brains to climb aboard.
Well, what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I wonder if you might give me 24 hours to think about it?
Sure. You go home and talk to your wife.
Oh, yeah, I'd like
that. In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers, and soon you'll be managing my affairs.
Your affairs? No. No, doggone it, no. You sit here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you are nothing but a scurvy little spider.
What did Mr. Potter want, George?
Nothing. It was just talk. Nothing.
Oh, gee. Mary Hatcher. Why in the world would you ever marry a guy like me anyway?
To keep from being an old maid.
I was gonna see the world. I was gonna build things. I was gonna give you the moon. What have I given you? What have I given you? Not even a new dress. Not for months now. You could have married Sam Wainwright. Anybody else in town.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
You didn't even have a honeymoon. I promised you... Your what?
My baby.
You mean... Mary, you're on the nest?
George Bailey lassoes stork.
Well, Mary had her baby, a boy.
You don't say.
Then she had a girl.
Well, what do you know?
Night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't good with the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down hard. Then came the war. Mary had another baby by then, but still had time to run the USO. Gower and Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa, got the Silver Star. Violet entertained the troops. Ernie the taxi driver parachuted into France. Harry Bailey topped them all. A Navy flyer, he shot down 15 planes, two of them as they were about to crash into a transport full of soldiers.
Yes, but George, what about George?
George? 4F on account of his ear. George fought the Battle of Bedford Falls, air raid warden, paper drives, scrap drives, rubber drives. On VE Day, he wept and prayed. VJ Day, he wept and prayed again.
We're getting pretty close to today,
yes,
aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You know now almost everything there is to know about George Bailey, except what happened that finds him down there at this moment, wanting to die.
Well, sir? Well?
Well, today's the day before Christmas, and Billy is at the bank to make a deposit when he ran into Old Man Potter. Well, Mr. Henry F. Potter, come to the bank to deposit some more loot, huh? Sure, you old fool. Oh, well, how do you like the news in the paper, Mr. Potter? Harry Bailey wins Congressional Medal of Honor. Just can't keep those Bailey boys down, can you?
Let me see that newspaper.
Here you go. Sorry I can't chat with you, old thief. Gotta make a deposit.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Horace. Here you are. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
What's that?
You want to make a deposit?
Well, yeah, certainly.
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
What? Well, it's gone. Where'd I put it? Where'd I put that money? A terrible thing, Clarence, terrible. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 in it was folded up in that newspaper he gave to Old Man Potter. At the same time as Billy was looking for the deposit, Violet came to visit George at the building and loan.
Oh, hello, Vi.
Suppose you're getting things ready for the party tonight.
Oh, you know you're invited. Well, what's wrong?
You see right through me, don't you?
How much do you need?
I hate to do this to you, George, but I won't be asking for any more after this.
Are you planning on robbing a bank, Vi?
I'm going to Manhattan.
What's in Manhattan?
Everything is in Manhattan. A new start, at least.
That's a big step, Vi. What's the matter with starting a new life right here in Bedford Falls?
Well, I'll be. I never thought I'd hear that from you, George Bailey. I thought you hated this place.
I did. But this town has a charm of its own.
You should give tours, maybe.
I'm just thinking of you, Violet. Manhattan's a big place to take on your own.
I've made a decision. There's a midnight train tonight, and I plan to be on it.
Well, takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again. Here's some dough.
Oh, no, George, don't.
Oh, what do you want to do? Hock your furs in that hat? You want to walk to New York? You know they charge for meals and rent up there, same as they do here in Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
It's a loan. It's my business, building and loan. Besides, you'll get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Hey, say hello to New York for me.
Merry Christmas, George.
George! George!
Uncle, hey, what's going on? The bank examiner's here. And
he's here?
Yeah, he wants the accounts payable. Oh. What's the matter?
The money, the $8,000.
Billy, what's happening?
I don't know. I was going to deposit it. I went to the bank and then I didn't have it.
$8,000?
Yes.
Uncle Billy, the bank examiner's waiting in our office and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
I'm so sorry, George. I just don't know what happened.
All right, well, the first place you look is in your coat pocket. I told you to put it in there when you left.
I'm no good to you, George.
We'll retrace your steps. We'll leave no stone unturned.
But, George, I did that. I went back to the bank and I retraced every single step.
Listen to me. Think. Try it.
I can't think anymore. I'm sorry, George. Oh. It's really gone.
We need that money. You stupid, silly old fool. We need it. Do you realize what this means?
What?
It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail.
George.
Well, it's not going to be me. Now get out of my way. I'm going home.
Oh.
What is it, dear? You haven't said a word since you came home.
Well, the banging on the piano. Does she have to keep playing that same piece over and over and over again?
I have to practice for the Christmas party, Daddy.
What is it, dear? Another hectic day?
Yeah, another red-letter day for the Baileys.
Excuse me.
Dad, the Murphy's got a brand new car. You should see it.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Daddy.
Excuse me?
Excuse you for what?
I burped.
Your excuse, Tommy. Run upstairs, Pete. See if Zuzu's all right.
Okay, Mom.
Zuzu, what's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she got a little cold coming home from school. She didn't button up her coat.
Well, what is it, a sore throat or what?
Oh, George, the doctor says it's nothing serious.
The doctor? Was the doctor here?
Well, I thought he'd better look at her.
It's this old house. I don't know why we all don't have pneumonia. Might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why did we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's happened?
Everything's happened. You call this a happy family? Why do we have to have all these kids?
Dad, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know. Ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Up to see Zuzu.
Hi, Daddy.
Well, what happened to you?
I want a flower.
Where do you think you're going?
Want to give my flower a drink.
Here, give Daddy the flower. I'll give it the drink.
Look, Daddy. Some of the petals came off. Paste it.
Yeah, all right. Now I'll paste this together. There it is. Good as new.
Give the flower a drink.
Now, will you do something for me?
What?
Will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I want to look at my flower.
I know, but you just go to sleep and then you can dream about it. It'll be a whole garden.
It will?
Uh-huh.
Telephone!
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. The doctor says she'll be out of bed in time for her Christmas dinner.
Who's that?
Zuzu's school teacher.
What?
Oh, yes, the doctor said she would be fine tomorrow.
Give me that phone.
George,
Mrs. Welch? Yeah, this is George Bailey. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending her home like that half naked? Do you realize she'll probably end up with pneumonia because of your stupidity?
George!
You know, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed kids, but at least they have the cover.
Mrs. Welch, I want to apologize. Hello? Hello? She's hung up.
I'll hang her up.
Now, who in the Sam Hill do you think you're talking to?
Hello? Who is this? Oh, Mr. Welch. Gives me a chance to tell you what I really think about your wife.
George!
Let me handle this. Hello? Oh, you will, huh? Okay, Mr. Welch, anytime you think you're man enough. Hello? J.D., will you stop playing that lousy piano? Cut it out! Stop it!
George! George, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... You go on and practice. Pete, I owe you an apology, too. I'm sorry. What'd you want to know?
Nothing, Daddy.
What's the matter with everybody? Jane, you go on. I told you to practice. Now go on, play.
Oh, Daddy!
George, why must you torture the children? Why don't you...
Oh,
Mary!
Operator, Bedford 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
Yes, Pete.
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie, pray very hard.
Me too.
You too, Tommy, and Zuzu. We'll tell Zuzu to pray too. Hello, Uncle Billy?
So, that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in the books, eh?
Please, Mr. Potter, I'll pay any sort of interest. If you still want the building and loan...
Well, you say you lost it. Did you notify the police?
Oh, no, sir. I haven't done that yet. Harry's homecoming.
Why
tomorrow.
Did you come to me? What about your good friend Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
Well, what kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
I have some life insurance. A $15,000 policy.
Oh, how much is your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000? Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man, crawling in here on your hands and knees for help? No securities, no stocks, no bonds. Why, you're worth more dead than you are alive. Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so much and ask them for help?
I'll do anything, Mr. Potter, please. Please help me.
I'm going to do for you? As a stockholder in the building and loan, I'm calling the state examiner to get a warrant for your arrest.
No,
misappropriation of funds, manipulation,
Mr. Potter, please. You can't. They can't arrest me.
Go on and run. You can't hide in a little town like this. Merry Christmas, George!
And all the time, Potter had the $8,000 in his own desk drawer.
But where's George, sir? Where?
Oh, he is at Martini's bar. He's had a couple of drinks, Clarence. He's just sitting there.
What's he saying? Who's he talking to?
Oh, God. Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, please show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God.
Mr. Bailey, you are right. Don't drink anymore, Mr. Bailey. You don't feel good.
Bailey? You say Bailey? Which Bailey?
This gentleman is Mr. Bailey, George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh?
Oh, Mr. Welch!
And the next time you talk to my wife like that, you'll get worse. It isn't enough she slaves teaching your stupid kids how to read and write. You got a ball around...
You get out of here, Mr. Welch! You hit my best friend!
All
get out!
All right.
Mr. Bailey, you okay?
Who was that?
Oh, Mr. Welch, but don't worry. He no come into this place no more. I'll get something for your face. It's a bleed.
I'm all right.
Oh, please, don't go away, Mr.
Leave
Bailey.
Me alone!
Please,
leave me alone!
Clarence, it's time.
Now?
Yes, are you ready? He's at the river now, on the bridge.
All ready, sir.
Very well. Save George Bailey's life and you'll get your wings.
My wings? Oh, thank you, Joseph. George Bailey, get away from that bridge. Do you hear me, George? George!
In a moment, we'll return to It's a Wonderful Life, but first, a word from our sponsors. Are you guilty of careless driving because windshield bug spots dulled your vision?
Yes, I'm guilty.
Stop straining to see through a bug-spattered windshield. Lux Toilet Cake gets the squashed bugs off quickly, easily, yes, even when the sun has baked them in the glass.
You need clear vision as well as good brakes to avoid accidents. Lux toilet soap polishes the glass so crystal clear, you'll hardly know it's there.
I feel so much safer after I clean my windshield with Lux toilet cake. It leaves no dangerous oily film to pick up dust and make night driving difficult.
Lux toilet cake, the soap of 100 uses.
It's found in every bathroom. It's used by you and me. It's used by our dear president, from sea to shining sea. It washes up cars.
It washes up bars.
And out in L.A., it washes up stars. Lux toilet cake.
The toilet cake that saved the world.
Lux toilet cake.
The toilet cake that brought our boys home.
Lux toilet cake.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh.
Buy a cake of Lux toilet soap today. Keep it in your car. And now, the dramatic conclusion of It's a Wonderful Life. Numb with despair, convinced, as Mr. Potter said, that he's worth more dead than alive, George Bailey stands on a bridge staring at the dark and frigid waters below. Suddenly, there's a splash.
Help! Help me! I can't swim!
Hold it, mister! I'm coming!
What in Sam hell are you two doing? This storm's not fit for man or beast! Now get out of that water! Are you two all right? Do you need a doctor?
No, I'm all right.
No, I'm fine. Oh, this underwear. I didn't have time to get anything stylish. My wife gave me this for my last birthday. I passed away in it.
Passed away?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer is drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me. Oh, you should read the new book Mark Twain is working on.
How'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
You jumped in to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Hey, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven.
What?
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you would try to save me. And you see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Oh, that's very funny.
Oh, your lip's bleeding, George.
Oh, yeah, I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
How do you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something?
Oh, no.
Well, who are you, then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody, AS2. What's the AS2?
Angel Second Class.
Hey, I'm getting out of here. You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Oh. Cheerio, my good man.
Hey, look here. Why'd you want to save me?
'Cause I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
It was ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself over money. $8,000.
Yeah, just things like that. Now, how'd you know that?
I told you. I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look like about the kind of angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? Where's your wings?
I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
Oh, I see.
But you can help me earn them, George, by letting me help you.
Well, you don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you.
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, Bub.
Oh, I
found it out a little late, though. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look. You mustn't say things like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Oh, yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends.
This isn't going to be easy.
They'd all be better if I'd never been born.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
George, that's wonderful.
Wonderful?
The idea you just gave me. Well, you got your wish. You've never been born.
Never been born?
Exactly. No worries. No $8,000 to get. Nothing. You simply don't exist.
Hey, wait a minute. This ear of mine, say something else in that ear.
You don't have a bad ear anymore. Don't you see? You're not the George Bailey you think you are. You're nobody.
What's the doggonest thing?
Oh, and your lips stop bleeding too, George.
Huh. Well, what do you know about that? Hey, what happened? I need a drink. That's what I need. What about you, Angel? Do you want a drink?
Well, I don't know.
Come on. We'll go as soon as our clothes are dry.
Oh, our clothes are dry.
Oh, hey, so they are. That's funny. The stove's hotter than I thought. Well, look, let's get dressed, and then we'll stroll over to Martini's, and... I'll stroll. You fly.
I haven't got my wings.
You haven't got your wings. That's right. Okay, well, a few drinks in us, and we'll both fly. There's a place to sit down. Go ahead, sit down. Oh, hello, Nick. Clarence, welcome to the best bar in Bedford Falls.
Bedford Falls? Don't you mean Pottersville?
Pottersville? Hey, where's Martini?
Hey, look, I'm the boss. You want a drink or don't you?
Okay, all right. Double bourbon, quick, huh?
Okay. What's yours, bub?
I was just thinking of mulled wine.
Huh?
Heavy on the cinnamon and light on the cloves. Off with you, my lad, and lively
hey,
now.
Hey, look, mister, we serve hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the Jern atmosphere.
Now, come on here. Just give him the same as I ordered. He's okay.
All right, two double bourbon.
What about this place? It's all changed.
All of Bedford Falls has changed. You're having your wish, George. You've never been born. Well, there'll be lots of things you've never seen before. Oh, good. Somebody's just made it.
Made what?
Every time you hear a bell ring, it means some angel's just got his wings.
What'd you say?
Look, Clarence, I don't think you better talk about angels around here, huh?
Don't they believe in angels?
Yeah, they believe in them. It's just...
Well, then
why
should people be surprised when they see one?
Huh? Don't mind him, Nick. He just never grew up. How old are you anyway, Clarence?
293. Next May.
That does it. Out you two pixies go through the door or out the window. Go on, get.
Hey,
get.
Where's Martini? What are you
talking
about?
Stop asking about Martini. He ain't here. Well, well, well. Look who crawled out from under whatever hole he's been hiding in.
Hey, it's Mr. Gower.
Hey, you rummy. Didn't I tell you never to come panhandling around here?
Oh, George, look.
Hey, Mr. Gower. Hey, this is George Bailey. Don't you know me?
Will you buy me a drink, mister? Please. Just one drink, mister.
Binky, throw the rummy out.
You got it.
Oh, no, please. No, please.
Hey, Nick, isn't that Mr. Gower, the druggist?
That rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning some kid. If you know him, you must be a jailboy yourself. Binky, here's two more. Get him out of here.
You got it, boss.
Wait.
Oh, here. Let me help you up. Oh, this snow is quite cold.
What's wrong with Mr. Gower?
Mr. Gower doesn't know you, George. You see, George, you weren't there to stop Gower from putting that poison into the prescription.
What do you mean I wasn't there? What are you, a hypnotist? Why am I seeing all these strange things here?
Don't you understand? It's because you were never born.
Then if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean, no identity? My name's George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. Oh, you have no papers, no cards, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Zuzu's petals.
What?
Zuzu's petals. My little girl, some petals fell off her flower. I told her I'd fix it and stuck them in my pocket, but they're gone too. Everything is gone.
But you've been given a great gift, George. The chance to see what the world would be like if you had never been born.
No, you're crazy. You're crazy as a bed bug, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now, look, I'm going home to my wife and family. Do you understand that? And I'm going home alone.
You know the drill, sister. Hands behind your back.
Keep your hands off me. Why don't you bust somebody else for a change?
Hey, officer, where did the building and loan move to?
The building and
what? The Bailey building and loan. It was right up there.
Oh, that went out of business years ago. Now all that's left is this burlesque house.
Not so fast, copper. I know Potter.
Hey, Violet. Hey, listen, that's Violet Bick.
Oh, believe me, I know. Believe me, I know.
No, I know that girl.
Ah, who doesn't? Now, get out of our way.
Taxi! Oh, hey, Ernie. Ernie, take me home. I'm going off my nut.
Where do you live?
Oh, now, doggone it, Ernie. Don't you start pulling that stuff. You know where I live. 320 Sycamore. Now, hurry up.
Okay. 320 Sycamore?
Yeah, hurry up. Zuzu's sick.
All right.
Look here, Ernie. Straighten me out here. I've got some bad liquor or something. Huh. Now, listen to me. Now, you are Ernie Bishop, and you're in park with your wife and kid. That's right, isn't it?
You seen my wife?
Seen your wife? I've been to your house 100 times.
Hey, look, bud, what's the idea? I live in a shack in Potter's Field, and my wife ran away 3 years ago and took the kids, and I ain't never seen you before in my life.
Okay. Just step on it. Just get me home.
This the place?
Of course it's the place.
Well, this house ain't been lived in for 20 years.
Mary! Mary, I'm home! Pete? Tommy? JD? Zuzu? Where are you?
They're not here, George. You have no children.
Where are they, Clarence? What have you done with them?
All right. Put up your hand.
Oh, what is this?
No fast moves. Come on out here, both of you.
Bert! Oh, thank heaven you're here. Bert, what's happened to this house? Where's Mary? Where are my kids?
Watch him, boy.
Come on. I'm going to take you down to the station.
Bert, now listen to me. It's that fellow there. He says he's an angel. He's trying to hypnotize
me. Don't make me use my knife, Dick.
Bert, I hate to do this, but...
Run, George! Run, George!
Ma Bailey's boarding house.
Well?
Mother?
Mother, what do you want?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Mother, please try to understand. Something's happened to me. I don't know what it is, but I need a place to stay. Please let me stay here.
I don't take in strangers.
I'm not a stranger. I know everybody you know. Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
Well, sure I do.
When'd you see him last?
Today, over at his house.
That's a lie. He's been in the insane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
I'm here again, George.
My mother. My own mother didn't even know me.
Strange, isn't it? One man's life touches so many others. When he isn't around, he leaves a pretty big hole, doesn't he?
Look, you, I've heard of things like this before. You got me under some kind of a spell. Well, I'm gonna get out of it, I've got to. I know I talked to Billy this afternoon. How can he be in the asylum? I gotta snap out of this. Just let me think a minute. Bailey Park.
There is no Bailey Park if you weren't here to build it.
Well, we'll see.
This is Bailey Park. People live here. Pretty grim.
Well, this is where Bailey Park's supposed to be. What's this gravestone doing here? And why's the name Bailey on it?
That wouldn't be yours.
My father's name's on it.
Oh, I've met your father. He's a very nice man.
Wait, what's this other name? Why is my brother Harry's name here?
Your brother broke through the ice and drowned at the age of 9.
No, that's a lie! Harry Bailey went to war! He won the Congressional Medal of Honor! He saved every man on that transport!
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them. Because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, You really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it all away?
What do I do now, Clarence? What do I do?
It's your life, George.
What happened to Mary, Clarence?
Mary?
My wife, Mary. What happened to her if I was never born?
I'm not supposed to tell you, George.
Look, I don't know how you know the things you do, but please, if you know where she is, just let me see her. That's all I need to make a decision.
Oh, very well, George, but you're not going to like it.
Where is she, Clarence?
She's an old maid.
Where is she?
Well, she's just about to close up the library. There must be some easier way to earn my wings.
Is the library closed?
It's Christmas Eve. We can't stay up all night.
Can I ask you something?
I should really be getting home.
What is there to go home to?
That is none of your business, sir. The library is closed. Maybe you should try back the 26th.
Mary! I'm sorry.
How do you know my name?
All I need is a couple of minutes.
I told you, the library is
closed. Please, just 2 minutes. That's all I need. I'll do anything.
You sound desperate. I'll help if I can. What is it?
Isn't this town Bedford Falls?
It used to be, but that was some time ago. I wasn't very old when Potter was elected and took the town along with its name for himself.
So you do know a place called Bedford Falls?
I've seen pictures. It looked like a very nice place. Things have changed, but that's with the times. I have to go.
Mary Hatch! You live on Reed Street, a white Victorian. Your bedroom is at the top of the stairs and you turn to the left. You have an older brother, Marty, and you live with your mother, Edwina.
How do you know all this? What are you, some crazy man? Stop it, I'm
leaving.
Don't
you know me, Mary? Just let me touch you.
Get your hands off me, I'll call
the cop. The house you wished for, don't you remember?
I told you, I don't know you.
Don't you know me?
Go.
You must.
Officer!
You're my wife. Mary, please. Oh, please don't do this to me. Please help me, Mary. Where are our kids?
What?
Look, I need you, Mary. Help me, please.
Away from me, help!
Mary!
Help!
Mary, it's George, Mary! Mary! Clarence! Clarence! Clarence, where are you? Help me, Clarence. Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Only get me back to my wife and kids. Please, Clarence, help me. I want to live again. Please, Clarence, I want to live again! Oh, God. Please just let me live again.
George? Is that you, George?
Now get out of here, Bert! Get out of here! You come any closer and I'll hit you again!
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
Come on! George? George? Bert, do you know me?
Know ya? I've been looking all over town for you. Where you been?
Hey, Bert. Bert! I'm alive again, Bert!
You sure you're all right? Hey, your mouth's bleeding.
It is? Hey, my mouth's bleeding. Oh, Bert, look at the blood come out of there, would you? Oh, Zuzu's petals. Zuzu's petals, there they are. What do you know about that? Merry Christmas, Bert!
Well, Merry Christmas. Now get in the car. I'll drive you home.
Oh, you will, Bert. We'll do that then. Turn the siren wide open. Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls! Hey, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan! Oh, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter! Yippee! Mary, I'm home! Hey, have you seen my wife? Hey, what is this, these people, these reporters? Hey, Merry Christmas, reporters!
Mr. Bailey, there's the deficit.
Oh, I know, $8,000, I bet, huh?
George, I've got a little paper here.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? Merry Christmas. Hey, where's Mary, you know? Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Ah, isn't it wonderful? Oh, where's Mary?
Merry Christmas!
Oh, kids! Kids! Oh, Pete, Janie, Tommy! Oh, I could eat you up. Oh, where's your mother?
She went looking for you with Uncle Billy. Daddy!
Zuzu! Oh, Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel?
Fine, Daddy. Not a smidge of temperature.
Not a smidge! Hallelujah!
George, darling!
It's Mummy! Mummy's
oh,
here!
Mary!
George, where have you been?
Oh, Mary, George, let me touch you. George, oh, you're George. Real. You have no idea what's happened to me.
You have no idea what's happened either. Come on, quick, George. They're on their way.
Who's on their way? The FBI? The National Guard? I'm alive again, Mary! Listen, I'm alive again, Mary.
Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree, right here, and don't move. Don't. Oh, I hear you now, George. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Come in, Uncle Billy, everybody, in here.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told a few people you were in trouble, and they scattered all over town collecting money. They didn't ask any questions, just said, if George is in trouble, you can count on me. You never saw anything like it.
Oh, what is this, George? Another run on the bank? Here you are. Merry Christmas.
Hey, the line forms to the right, Mr. Gower. Merry Christmas. Mr. Martini, step right up here now. I busted a jukebox or two.
Mr. Gower,
I made a run on my charge accounts.
Violet Vick.
I'm not going to go, George. I changed my mind.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George. Here you go. $242.
Oh, that's too much, really.
I've been saving this money for a divorce if I ever get married.
Merry Christmas, George.
Merry Christmas, Mother.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, Bailey.
Hey, just a minute. Quiet, everybody. Quiet. A telegram from London.
Ooh, London.
Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas. Sam Wainwright.
Mark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king.
Hello,
Harry.
Hello, George. George, how are you? Oh, Mary, looks like I got here too late.
Mary, I got him here from the airport as quickly as I could. The fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
Harry, how about your banquet?
Oh, Mother, I left right in the middle of it as soon as I got Mary's telegram.
How about some wine?
Oh, good idea. A toast to my big brother, George. The richest man in town.
Thanks, everybody.
Soon all the acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind.
What's this book, George?
Tom Sawyer.
Well, look, there's an inscription.
George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
What's that?
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Should all the acquaintance be forgot?
WBFR Playhouse on the Air presentation of It's a Wonderful Life. The WBFR Playhouse is brought to you this and every week by Kreml Hair Tonic and Lux Toilet Cakes. Please stay tuned for a program of popular holiday music. This is WBFR Radio, New York, New York.
hope you've enjoyed this special holiday presentation here on the WKNO stations of It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. This is now showing at Playhouse on the Square and runs through December 23rd, so we've got lots of chances to see it. If you'd like tickets and more information, call Playhouse on the Square at 726-4656. Featured in tonight's program were Irene Christ, Corey Cunningham, Michael Gravois, Kim Justice, and John Rowe.